Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. The Oregon Coast Military Museum aims to be the first fully sustainable museum by using new technology to keep garbage out of landfills and make clean energy. The museum intends to be off the grid and hire veterans to create a unique military-themed edutainment park experience for visitors. The new project is called Camp Liberty. Patrick Ritter is the project director. He's been involved in large-scale environmental projects worldwide for more than 40 years. Welcome to the Exchange, Patrick.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with an overview. Tell me about the Oregon Coast Military Museum.
Well, the Oregon Coast Military Museum is a small museum on the coast of Oregon in the town of Florence, and it's in a community that has a high ratio of veterans, and almost 25% of our population in Florence has veteran affiliation. And so what we have is a group of veterans who put together the idea of having a museum. And 9 years ago, they opened up a museum, very nice museum, and it's steadily grown ever since then. And unfortunately, the facility that it's in is just too small now. They have too many artifacts to be able to display. So it needs to grow. The idea is we're going to grow a museum by using some technology that will help it to grow and be self-sufficient.
That sounds like a good problem to have.
Well, it turns out that we were able to figure out a few different combinations, and what we came up with was if we have veterans who can help get rid of garbage by creating electricity, we've solved three problems at the same time.
Well, talk to me about Camp Liberty. How did this idea come about?
Camp Liberty is actually the culmination of many years of experience that I've had with different types of projects around the world. But the technology involved is currently available in many, many different places. In fact, they're doing a similar project about 50 miles away in Eugene, Oregon. And it's a pyrolysis processing method. And we take garbage and we convert it into pellets and then burn those pellets, and those produce a synthetic gas, and that gas can power turbines to make electricity or engines, different things. So it's not an unknown technology. It's been around for many years. It's technology that I've worked on in different countries for many years.
So pyrolysis is this process of taking waste and using it to create energy. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. We take the waste, the municipal solid waste, they call it MSW, and we shred it and turn it into very small pieces, and we push those pieces into a machine called a pelletizer, and the pelletizer turns it into little pellets that are about the size of your thumb. Those are then fed into a machine that heats up those pellets, and they express gas into other material, and that gas is what's used to power the turbines or the engines or other things. And then it also puts off an ash that's called biochar, that's actually a very, very effective fertilizer. So what we end up with is no pollution coming out. We have a fertilizer that is the result, and as well as electricity.
So it sounds like a circular energy process.
It is. It has taken some time to create the technology and some time to refine it. However, at this point, there's enough research and development done that we can actually produce different types of materials from the waste. We can produce, of course, electricity, but we can also produce low sulfur diesel fuel. We can produce material to be made into the railroad ties. We can also produce a material called carbon nanotubes. So there's other products that can come out of this process and make the entire operation very useful for providing these products to the public.
Well, you mentioned that this is already being done elsewhere. Tell me about that.
Well, the pyrolysis processing that's going on currently in the Eugene area is to remediate the waste, and it's to generate synthetic gas, what they call syngas. Other projects in different places around the country are utilizing the municipal solid waste. to generate the types of products and to generate electricity and to basically refine the processes as they go along. This is as much an experiment in chemistry as it is in production processing.
Have they found any challenges, any unexpected outcomes that they need to address?
Well, the pushback that has occurred has been concern about what's going out into the atmosphere as a result of the process. But the truth of the matter is there's really nothing that goes into the atmosphere but hot air. All of the particulate matter or any other type of output is captured and regenerated through the system. So when it goes through the system, everything burns up at 1,700 degrees Fahrenheit, so there's really not much left of anything, just some ash.
Okay, well, there seems to be three main themes of this project. One, it's a public theme park. Two, it'll be powered by green energy technology. And three, it'll be managed by veterans. Did I forget anything?
Well, you know, the three main components, you're right. And the idea is we're using municipal solid waste, garbage, to make something happen that's positive, that needs to happen and solve a problem and actually try and solve a few different problems. So by eliminating the waste, by providing employment opportunities, we'll also be providing a school to educate people on how to do this so they can do it themselves. When you have a situation where you have a landfill, a lot of garbage, and you have veterans, you have an opportunity, I think, to make money and produce a profitable result. We want to use that for edutainment venue and an employment opportunity, but it can be used for all types of different opportunities. It's a very profitable business.
Well, before we get into the edutainment park and what that all entails, where do you get all this waste?
Well, actually, you generate it from both local landfills, but you will contract with different organizations and different municipalities to take their waste. We don't have the same opportunity that we had a few years ago. China would take a lot of our waste, and it would be shipped overseas to China to be used in this pyrolysis processing, as a matter of fact. But then China stopped accepting our waste. So it just continued to build up here in the United States. So cities like San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, San Diego, Seattle, Portland, they need to find places to send their waste, and we can accept it from them. We would be bringing it in by barge over the water so that it doesn't have a problem going overland, and we'll also bring it in by railroad. So the waste is not going to be a difficult item to get. The feedstock, there's plenty of it, will be for a long time.
My guest is Patrick Ritter. He's the project director for Camp Liberty, a self-sustained, self-powered, military-themed edutainment park envisioned by the Oregon Coast Military Museum. I want to ask you about this park, but I have one more question about this waste. What kind of waste are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about all kinds of waste, actually. We would be able to recycle and utilize the plastics, wood, paper, cardboard, foams, pretty much everything except glass and metal. We would keep the glass and metal separate and recycle those separately, but everything else can go through this process. And the fact of the matter is the machinery that we use is very, very efficient at making the equipment or making the waste come through the process quite evenly and quite substantially. This is something that's going to be operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we expect to be able to process about 1,000 tons of garbage a day.
So when you say garbage, you're talking about consumer product waste. You're not talking about human and animal waste, right?
Actually, we're talking about all kinds of waste. There is processing methodologies that can utilize human and animal waste. So it's something that as this system grows, and it will grow on its own, this is machinery and equipment that's scalable. So we can increase the size of the production facility quite easily and increase the capability of the processing pretty substantially. So we can bring in all types of different waste, and they would be used for specialized types of output at the other end of the process.
Okay, well, let's talk about the experience that people have when they go to the museum, the military museum, and what the difference will be once Camp Liberty is created.
Well, the current museum is located on a piece of property next to the airport in Florence. And the problem we have is it's a 5,000 square foot museum, which is a nice size for a small museum. The difficulty is we have over 27,000 artifacts in the museum. We can't display them all. There's just too much. So we needed a bigger museum. Well, as we thought about that and decided that we did need a new museum, we wanted to put that museum out on Highway 101. We're not located there right now. And that would increase the traffic and the number of visitors. Well, the fact remains that most museums don't receive a lot of money from visitors and that kind of thing. Most of it comes from donations and grants and other sources. And so we decided we wanted to try and generate our revenue from other resources for the museum. And so the idea went to having restaurants and RV park and cabins and reenactment areas for military activities and theaters and all kinds of things. And the reason it went that way was because if we're going to be on Highway 101 in a small town, we're going to have something more than just a museum to attract attention. So once it got to that point, it was like, well, that's going to take a lot of power. And my experience was, okay, then let's just make our own energy. We can do that. The technology's there. It's not that difficult. So the waste that we would be using to be able to generate the power for that, we would have a lot of excess power, so we would sell that off to the local grid and still be able to power ourselves and keep our costs down and be able to provide the employment opportunity for a lot of veterans. And also be able to provide an opportunity for a location where veterans can come and have all the services that they need right there in one place.
Well, it sounds like a really big dream. At what stage is the project in as far as this development?
Well, at the moment, what we're doing is acquiring property. We're trying to solicit the donations that are going to be used to acquire the property for the moment. We're also, we've been in communication with the Army Corps of Engineers. They volunteered to help us and do all the construction, landscaping, and other work at the initial stages of the project. We'd like to start moving equipment and machinery in the spring of 2025, if possible. So we're trying to move ahead with everything that we can. We have a 501c3 charitable organization that folks can donate funds to. We're on the way and getting done.
So what I'm hearing you say, if I understand you correctly, that the design of this has already been created, and now you're in the process of raising money and acquiring the property. Is that right?
That's correct. We have the overall construction design. We have a design for the Camp Liberty edutainment venue. The property identified, everything that we need to do has been set up and done now. We're at this stage letting the world know that we're ready to go, and if they'd like to help, we'd like to have them involved.
Okay, well, we have about a minute left. Can you describe what Camp Liberty will, what the experience will be for visitors, and what is the cost of the entire project?
Well, the entire project, first phase is going to be about $25 million. What visitors can expect is an environment where they get to not just see the history of America's military, but also be able to experience other types of activities, things like pickleball courts, water park, shooting galleries, all kinds of different activities for the family, because this really does need to be a family-based activity. And we want it to be an enjoyable environment. We want folks to be able to learn and be educated and to use this as a resource for individuals in the research or historians who are just interested in seeing what's available here on the West Coast, because there's not very much out here as far as military history and the artifacts relating to it.
Okay, and how many veterans are expected to be hired?
At the edutainment venue, probably about 100, and at the production site, about 150.
Okay, well,
so
that's
a total of 250.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have. Thanks, Patrick. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate your time.
My guest was Patrick Ritter, the project director for Camp Liberty, a military-themed edutainment park powered by green energy and proposed by the Oregon Coast Military Museum. I'm Mike Green. The Exchange will return after a short break with another project, this one inside a California state prison.